Let's stand for the reading of God's word.
The gospel reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, if the kids haven't already gone back to class, I see it back there. This is waiting for you. Well, good morning, Living Water Church. So good to be together as our church family to sing songs of praise and be able to open the Word of God. And today we're finishing up our series about forgiveness. Over the past few Sundays, we've been looking at how to receive forgiveness from God. How do we forgive ourselves? How do we forgive others? Is forgiveness really forever? And then today we're looking at this idea of how do we live the life of a forgiven person? And as we've gone through this series, we've taken a closer look at the parable of the prodigal son that we find in Luke chapter 15. And if you remember in this parable, when it begins, there's a father and there's two sons, and the youngest son is so dissatisfied with his life, the way it is, that he asks his father for his inheritance before his father dies. And so he takes his share of his father's estate and he goes off to a foreign country, turning his back on his family and grating, insulting his dad. And he goes to this foreign land. He wastes all of his money. And when it was all gone, then a famine hits the land, and he finds himself needing to take a job of feeding pigs. And he's so hungry that he longs to eat the same food that he's given these pigs. And at this point, the son kind of has this waking up moment, and he realizes that things were much better with his dad. And so he decided even if he could go back as a servant, he would do that. And he came up with this plan because he knows that he's messed up. And so he decides he's going to go back and ask for his father's forgiveness and see if his father would hire him on as a hired hand. And so he returns home. And Jesus says, as the son was in the distance, the father was waiting for him, and he saw him, and he went running to meet him. And as his father approached the son, he wrapped his arms around him, and the son said, "Father, I've sinned. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Take me on as one of your hired servants." And the father, he wants nothing to do with that. He brings him back and restores him to full sonship, and then has the biggest party imaginable to celebrate his son's return. And that ends the parable for the youngest son, happily ever after, right? Well, I've kind of wondered, what happens next in this youngest son's life? You know, and when he left home, he left because he wasn't happy. Will he be able to be happy this time? He had treated his father really poorly before. How would he treat his father this time? Would he be able to forgive himself of wasting his entire inheritance? Would he be able to live forgiven? Well, that's the question we're going to be asking today. Am I living forgiven? Have I received God's forgiveness in my life? And if I have, has that transformed my life radically, like only God's forgiveness can do? Or am I still living my life the way I lived it before I was forgiven? Easter is a reminder that Jesus gave his life for us on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And so looking at our first verse, Colossians chapter 14, it says that God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all of our sins. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We didn't purchase it. It's all a gift from God. We just have to believe that what Jesus did for us on the cross, ask for forgiveness of our sins, and then our sins are removed. The Bible says that Jesus' death removed the sin that stands as this barrier between us and God, so that now we can have a relationship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it's our key verse this week, and it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all wickedness." Because what Jesus did on the cross, because he rose from the dead on Easter morning, when we go to God for forgiveness, he will wipe that slate completely clean. Just like with the prodigal son. But what happens next? Because here's my big fear, that someone in our church family might accept God's forgiveness, whether it was recently or a long time ago, but not let that forgiven reality change your life. You know, we tend to walk around with a lot of dead weight on our shoulders, a lot of baggage and a lot of hurt in our lives because we never really did accept his forgiveness when we asked for it. I mean, we understand his forgiveness up in our minds, but we haven't really accepted it down into our hearts. And as a result, we walk around with a lot of dead weight on our shoulders, just a lot of garbage in our lives. The inability to live forgiven, you know, the inability to totally receive God's forgiveness and the inability to forgive others can literally cause us to become sick. Sick physically, sick emotionally, sick relationally, even sick spiritually. Carl Menninger, the famed psychiatrist, once said that if you could convince every person in a psychiatric hospital that they were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out of the hospital the very next day. That is just an amazing statement to me. In a psychiatric hospital, if you could convince them that they were truly forgiven, most of them would leave the next day. You know what that tells me? That in our society, our biggest problem isn't a psychological one. Our biggest problem is a heart problem. It's a forgiveness problem. So today we're going to look at God's solution for our heart's problem. And what should happen in our lives when we really receive God's forgiveness? How does God want us to live a forgiven life? So today I'm going to encourage you to do a little bit of self-reflection. I want to ask you to grade yourself in some areas of your life that will help you determine whether you're truly living out the forgiveness that you've asked for. If you're really living the way God wants you to live as a believer, as someone who's received his forgiveness or not. And hopefully, if needed, you'll be able to strip off some of that weight that you might have brought in with you. Some of that baggage that you've been carrying around. So when I'm living forgiven, God wants to replace four burdens in our life. And here's the first burden we're looking at, and that is the burden of doubt. You know, this bag, it's filled with all of my doubts. This bag is filled with doubts about me, doubts about others. It's filled up with doubts about God. So here's the definition of doubt. Doubt is defined as an uncertainty of belief that interferes with decision-making. Doubt is defined as an uncertainty of belief that interferes with decision-making. So let me give an example. Let's say you're at work and you're offered a promotion, but that promotion requires you to step up to another level of work and you have some fear about that. You have some doubts about your ability to do that and you say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to accept that promotion. Because you doubt. Or let's say you're involved in certain ministries here at our church and you have certain responsibilities like you're an usher and you feel really good about it, but God is calling you to do something that is new, that is going to be more fulfilling and rewarding in your life, but you just don't see that you have the ability to do that. Like say maybe preaching a sermon or sharing your God story with your neighbor. And even though you know God is calling you to this, you have doubts about whether God will give you the ability to do it. And you think of all the things that could go wrong. And so instead of doing it, you say no to God because of doubt. This bag, it's full of all of our doubts. Doubt about ourselves, doubt about my ability, my intellect, doubt about others. I doubt their intentions towards me. But most importantly, this bag is filled about my doubts with God. Doubts about maybe even if does God exist. Doubts about does God really care about me? Does he truly love me? Does he have my best interest at heart? Doubts about will God really forgive all of my sins that have happened in my life? Doubts of whether I can trust God and what he's asking of me, whether he really cares about me. A lot of people are carrying around this weight in their life. And God doesn't want you living your life wondering if he really loves you or forgiveness is really forever. God doesn't want you to doubt your relationship with him. God wants to replace my doubts with certainty. Would you write that down? God wants to replace my doubts with certainty. Certainty means that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. And so many of us live life without certainty about our relationship with God. We aren't sure that we've met the requirements to get into heaven. We aren't sure that God has really forgiven our sins and that he won't turn his back on us. And so we have doubts. But you see, God's forgiveness provides that certainty. So look at our next verse in Hebrews 10. God says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. There's no more need to do anything else when you have been forgiven. You can release your doubts. You can let them go. When God steps into your life and offers you forgiveness, it's done. There's nothing else you have to do. And so in your message notes, you'll see there's a phrase there that says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much doubt do you have about being forgiven? 1 meaning very little doubt. 10 meaning you have a lot of doubt. And you just need to be honest, this is for you, but grade yourself here. How much doubt do you have about your relationship with God? That he'll take care of you, that he loves you. Be honest, write the first number that comes to your mind. Grade that on yourself, and then we'll come back to that in a little bit. So the first weight in your life is this burden of doubt. The second weight that we need to deal with is the burden of guilt. In this bag is all the guilt that you've experienced in your life. Past mistakes, past sins. This is what guilt is. Guilt is fault for offenses. Guilt is knowing that you messed up, and you're experiencing the blame for that mistake. And here's the thing about guilt. Guilt comes attached with another emotion. You know, the twin of guilt is this emotion called shame. And shame is a humiliating emotion that makes you feel really bad about yourself. And so many of us are carrying around this bag that's filled with a whole lot of guilt and shame over mistakes made in the past. Mistakes made in our relationships, times when we turned away from God, things that we're embarrassed about, where we know we've messed up. No matter what, we try to get rid of this bag because it can be so heavy on us. But we never seem to be able to feel released from the guilt of our past. Either we haven't asked for God's forgiveness or we haven't been able to forgive ourselves, and so we carry this heavy weight on our shoulders. And maybe you feel like the psalmist did in our next verse, Psalm chapter 38, verse 4, where it says, my guilt overwhelms me. It's a burden too heavy to bear. For a lot of people, this bag is the heaviest bag in their lives, almost too heavy for them to bear. But God doesn't want you to be carrying around this weight of guilt for the rest of your life. In fact, God wants to replace my guilt with peace. Write that down. Replace my guilt with his peace. Now, I want you to get this straight. God is not the source of guilt or shame in your life. A lot of people think that guilt and shame are weapons that God uses to manipulate us, to get us to do what he wants us to do. Like somehow God takes us on this holy guilt trip. And a lot of people don't like to come to church because when they come to church, they leave feeling guilty, feeling ashamed about themselves, and feeling like that's what God wants. Now, it's true that guilt and shame appear when we step outside of God's plan for our lives. The result when we sin and turn away from God. But guilt is the consequence that comes from naturally stepping out of God's will for our life when we disobey God. So if you're feeling guilt and shame this morning, that ought to be a red flag for us. It's a red flag waving, saying you're outside of God's will in this area of your life. You need to confess this. But guilt is not from God. In fact, through forgiveness, God wants to remove every little piece of guilt and shame in our life. And he wants you to experience no guilt and shame. God's peace means relief and freedom from the oppressive thoughts and feelings of guilt that might be in your life. So let's look at our next verse, Acts chapter 13. In fact, I want us to read this verse out loud together. Starts with everyone who believes. Right there up on the screen. Let's read this. Everyone who believes in him is free from sin and guilt, something the law of Moses had no power to do. Would you underline those five words? Free from sin and guilt. When God forgives you, it's all removed. It's not just in the past. It's removed as if it never happened. That's what God's peace brings into our life. That's how God removes guilt and shame from our life. It's completely gone. When God's peace comes, we can lay down that burden of guilt and shame. And so in this second burden, God replaces guilt with peace. Go ahead and grade yourself on that scale of 1 to 10 of how much guilt do you experience right now from the past. If you're experiencing a lot of guilt, that's going to be a high number. If it's not very much, it'll be low. But be honest with yourself as you grade yourself. Write that number down, and then we'll go on to the third bag. So this third one is filled with the weight of the burden of regret. A lot of us regret about past mistakes, missed opportunities, things that happened in our life that we wish we could go back and change. And this is how regret is defined. It's sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond one's control or power to repair. By its very definition, regret is worthless, but you can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can do by thinking about it, by replaying that situation over and over in your mind. There's nothing that you can do to get rid of the burden of regret. There's nothing you can do to fix it. It's just there over and over again. You know that you're carrying this weight of regret. If you're always thinking these thoughts of, I wish I had, or what if, or I should have. Regret, just like guilt, it's not from God. God doesn't want you to experience regret for the rest of your life. Instead, God wants to replace my regret with his hope. Write that down. God wants to replace my regret with hope. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience are forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. The sin says that past mistakes and sins, missed opportunities are put out of sight when we're forgiven. They're no longer remembered. We no longer have to dwell on them or bring them over and over to punish ourselves. In our minds, we can remove them, wipe them away as if they had never happened. Why can we do that? Because it comes with God's forgiveness. He's the forgiveness of second chances and third chances, 20th chances, new possibilities, the future of hope. That's what God gives us when we're forgiven. There are no dead ends. It's never too late with God as long as you're still breathing. The only thing that could prevent you from moving forward is yourself by carrying around this regret. Alexander Graham Bell said this, when one door closes, another door opens. But we so often look so long and so regrettably upon the closed door that we do not see the one that is open for us. Don't spend so much time looking back with regret and missed opportunities and mistakes that you miss the door that's right in front of you that God has opened up for you. The endless possibilities that God has right in front of you. Remember, that regret is worthless because I can't change what happened. I can't change it. I can't change it. So I need to look forward. I need to stop saying, what if? Oh, what if? The best way to remove the weight of regret in your life and to keep that from happening again is to no longer look back at that closed door, but instead look forward at the open ones that God has and the opportunities and possibilities that He has for you today. Catherine Mansfield said, make it a rule of life never to regret and never to look back. Regret is an appalling waste of energy. You can't build on it. It's only for wallowing in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much regret do you have in your life? If not very much, it's a low number. If it's a lot, it'll be a high number. But be honest and write that number down. And then the final weight is one of the heaviest. The fourth piece of baggage that we carry around is the one so many people struggle with. And that's the weight and burden of fear. Being afraid. Being afraid to step into the future. We're afraid of changes that might be right around the corner. We're afraid of looking foolish. We're afraid of making a final situation and how that's going to be. We're afraid of commitment. We're afraid of losing our marriage or what's going on in one of our kids' marriages. We're even afraid of death. We have a lot of fear, and it can be so heavy. Sometimes we're afraid of small things. Worry gives small things a really big shadow. And so fear can become a natural state where we're just living in this fear. And God did not create you to be afraid. God does not want us living in fear. God wants to replace fear with courage. God wants to replace my fear with courage. Here's the definition of courage: the strength to venture, to persevere, and to withstand fear. Now, this is important. If courage is the strength to venture, to persevere, and to withstand fear, then courage and bravery only exist in the presence of fear. If you are doing something and you aren't afraid, then what you're doing doesn't take courage. It doesn't take bravery. The only time that you're courageous or brave is when you are afraid of something and you face that fear. And so what that tells me is there is nothing wrong with the emotion of fear, because you're going to be fearful at times. We're going to be afraid of some things. But what is wrong is when we live in this constant state of fear. So what fear does is, more than any of the other bags, is that it paralyzes us. Fear keeps you from moving into what God is calling you to, from taking the next step of faith, because we're so afraid that we choose to stay in our comfort zone because we think it's the safest place to be. And so you might be asking, well, how does forgiveness help me overcome my fears? Well, this is how. When you are forgiven, our future is certain as you remain in your relationship with God, as you stay connected to the vine. God's love, His forgiveness, your future, it's all taken care of. That means when God asks you to move from where you are, out of your comfort zone, to a place you've never been before, and you're feeling that fear, you don't have to be paralyzed with it, because you know that God will be there, and if He's called you to it, He will help you do it. When you fall down, God will help you up. When you mess up, God will forgive you. When you succeed, God will have something else for you to do afterwards, another adventure to go on. Where is God asking you to step out of your comfort zone today? Maybe it's taking that step to be baptized, or it's joining the church, or maybe it's to be a part of a growth group, or maybe He's asking you to share your story of what God has done in your life with someone. Whatever it is, take that step. When you take a step to do something that you're afraid of, you're taking that burden or fear off of yourself and you're laying it aside. And when you do that, you're stepping into the future with hope and promise. You're being courageous, and you're opening up to yourself to all that God has for you. Now, the biggest fear of all is the fear of death. The fear of what will happen when I cross that line and I die. And some people are so afraid of death that they're terrified to even go to a funeral. We just don't know how to handle death. But God's forgiveness negates not just the fear of death, but God's forgiveness negates death, period. Because when we receive God's forgiveness, physical death is not the last word. It's just the next step. And this life is just the tip of the iceberg of what God has for us. An eternity stretched out with Him, God in heaven, that's just unimaginably, just amazing. So when we receive His forgiveness, it gives us courage to go through the rest of life without letting fear keep us from what God has for us. So look at our next verse. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fear do you live with? If it's not very much, it's a low number. If you're living with a lot of fear in your life, it's a high number. But be honest with yourself and write that number down. Doubt, guilt, regret, and fear. They're symptoms of an unforgiven life. They're weights that can carry around with us every day, and they can become so heavy on us that they stop us from being able to move forward. And they just weigh us to the ground. They can rob us of life. Why continue to carry these things around? God wants to replace each of them in your life. And if you have accepted, or if you're willing to accept God's forgiveness, all you have to do then is to lay it down. Lay these burdens down. Release them. Give them to God. These four destructive weights, and let God replace them with something positive. So let's look at our last verse. It's from Hebrews. Here's what it says. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down." Underline those four words. Strip off every weight, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. "And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." When God's forgiveness enters our life, it's a powerful and freeing thing. When God's forgiveness comes in our life, it replaces our doubt with certainty. When God's forgiveness comes into our life, we no longer have guilt and we experience that freedom. When God's forgiveness comes in our life, the regrets that we have about the past, all those mistakes and missed opportunities, we no longer have to keep bringing those things up because God has replaced that with hope. And then when God's forgiveness comes in our life, we no longer have to live with fear. We don't have to allow that fear to stop us from doing what He's calling us into. He doesn't want us to live with fear about the future, about eternity, about anything. God wants to replace that fear with courage. God wants to do that in your life. And when we accept forgiveness, the challenge is we do let those things go, but then the next day somehow we pick them back up. We accept the lie from the enemy that this is something we're supposed to do. Somehow we allow ourselves to get put back into a cage that we've already been freed from. And so the challenge is to walk out of that. A door is already open to release those things, to let them go. Don't go around carrying this weight. Your life is too precious. And life is too short to go around carrying these weights on our shoulders. So before we close in prayer, would you just take a moment and add up those scores that you wrote down for yourself? And then on the back of your notes, there's a blank provided there where you can put the total of those four scores. And I'll just to help you get a picture maybe of how you're doing living this forgiven life. Maybe you can receive and give forgiveness, but there's some room for you to grow in that. Or maybe you've experienced some forgiveness in your life, but the inability to completely receive it or give forgiveness is causing some emotional baggage, and it's really limiting your freedom in Christ. Or maybe you haven't been regularly receiving or giving forgiveness. And if that's you, it's probably killing you. Just deep down inside, there's a lot of pain in your life from your past. And so I want to challenge you today is to receive God's forgiveness. Lay aside these burdens and open yourself up to the future that God has with you, a future of hope. On the back of your connection card, if you don't mind taking that out and looking at the next steps on the back of it, that second next step says, I need to let go of the weight of the bags of. And if you would just write down, if there's something, one of those bags, or could be all of them, but whatever you sense the Holy Spirit has just kind of impressed on you, this is something you need to work on. If you would write that down, there's power in identifying what it is that is the next step in your life in this area. And then the third next step is to, says, I exchange that bag or those bags, if it's more than one, with God's, and then there's space to write in that what you get to exchange it for. Certainty, peace, hope, and courage. Would you write down that word that God wants to exchange, the bag that you feel like he's wanting you to work on? And then maybe this week just meditate on that word or those words. Let it be just something that becomes part of the rhythm of your prayer time. God, give me your peace today. God, would you help me in my hope? Or maybe it's certainty. I feel so uncertain. Would you give me that certainty today? Or maybe it's the courage. Fear has just got you gripped. God, would you help me to walk in courage and not in fear? Take that step today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgiveness is such a powerful thing. It is such a beautiful thing to have everything right before you. To know that we're right in the center of where we're supposed to be in our relationship with you. But sometimes, even though we know we're forgiven, walking in that forgiveness can trip us up because of these bags, because of these burdens, because of emotions and memories and wounds. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone who's just struggling, as we say, we know we got to let this go, but I've tried. I have really tried. And it just seems like it's still there. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would be releasing some people of these burdens. And I pray that as we walk this out, as we leave today, as we go into Monday and the rest of the week, as the enemy tries to come against us and convince us to pick that thing back up again, may we live in that freedom of forgiveness that you have given to us. May we refuse to allow ourselves to be put back into those emotional cages. Father, I pray that you would break some powerful patterns. Patterns of replaying things before we go to bed. Just getting stuck in that. Father, would your peace come down even in this moment? Holy Spirit, would you just touch those wounds, those memories, and release them? They've been forgiven. God has forgotten them. May you help us to do the same thing. Help us to walk it out and live it. Help us to replace our doubt with your certainty, to replace my guilt with your perfect peace, to replace that regret and shame in my life with your hope of tomorrow and today and what you're doing in our lives right now. and to replace my fear with courage. You know, maybe today you're ready to pray the prayer that's written on the back of the message notes about receiving God's forgiveness. And if you are, would you just pray these words silently to yourself as I say them out loud? God, today, I receive your forgiveness in my life. As you have forgiven me, help me to forgive others. Give me the strength to let go of these burdens. From this day forward, I want to live forgiven. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.